This podcast is part of the TPS Radio Sports Podcast Network at www.tpsradio.net.
And on TPS Radio, we bring you F1, the F1 podcast. Yes, the podcast about the most exciting, the fastest, the best motorsport in the world, Formula One Grand Prix racing. And while this is our season preview for 2009, and going into the 2009 season, well, a lot of things have changed. We have slick tyres back. I'll explain that all again later, but let's relive that last moment, the final moment of the 2008 season, the crowning of a new champion and the climax to a season that we'll probably never, ever get again, with what will be, if you're from the UK, the new broadcast team for Formula One. Yes, the BBC F1 are back on the Beeb. Need I say more? Just listen to this, the last few moments of 2009 F1. See you at the other end of this.
Last lap for Lewis Hamilton, under braking, is late on the brakes, and they can barely see the crowd, the cars, and they drop down the hill, and he hasn't got past Sebastian Vettel. He's struggling for grip as he puts his foot on the gas, going through the curve of the soul, and Lewis Hamilton has just blown that first opportunity of getting back ahead of Sebastian Vettel. He's got another 2 miles as the flash bulbs go off, waiting for Felipe Massa, who's got another third of a lap to come, and then he can be crowned not only the winner of the Brazilian Grand Prix, but against all the odds, 7 points he started adrift of Lewis Hamilton at the start of this race, to be crowned world champion in 2008 as well. Here comes Felipe Massa now, up towards the chequered flag, it's out for him, now he can celebrate victory in the Brazilian Grand Prix. He's won it for a second time, and the noise rises to a crescendo, but I tell you what, they've got a 200 more decibels to come when Lewis Hamilton crosses the line in a few moments' time, because Massa's won, we know that, he's the world champion if Lewis Hamilton can't get past Sebastian Vettel. Vettel goes round now into Yonkau, he's 3, 4, 5 car lengths ahead, and there's absolutely no chance for Lewis Hamilton to get back. They're throwing their hats into the air in the crowd here at Interlagos, because Felipe Massa, with Lewis Hamilton coming home to take 6th place, is world champion. No, Lewis Hamilton's up to 5th. Lewis Hamilton has made it up to 5th by the end of the line. Ferrari think they've won it. Our timing screen says that Lewis Hamilton's 5th and Timo Glock is 6th, and there's confusion at Ferrari, but I tell you what, the times say Lewis Hamilton is the winner. McLaren garage say Lewis Hamilton's the winner. Felipe Massa doesn't know what's happened there. Lewis Hamilton puts his hands over his head and can't believe it, and now it's filtered through, and now he thinks he's world champion. Timo Glock came home 6th. Lewis Hamilton couldn't get past Sebastian Vettel, but he could get past Timo Glock, and that'll do nicely. He's world champion in 2008, and I've never seen anything like it with 3 laps to go in this Brazilian Grand Prix. Well, what can I say? More of the same. Yes, please. I'm James Kelly. I'm going to be your host of F1, the F1 podcast. And come with me
to a journey. Yes, the journey through the 2009 F1 season. I'm going to be making sense for you of the media headlines. We're going to be doing race previews. We're going to be doing race reviews. The next race, well, the first race of the season in 2009 being Australia. But before we even think about that, we're going to be looking at the teams. We'll be looking at the drivers of the teams. Not too many driver changes, but hey, enough to get you excited about it. And, well, the biggest rule changes for quite a while, just as big as 1998. For those of you that have been following F1 for quite a while, at the end of 97 and the beginning of 98, slick tyres were out, groove tyres were in, the cars were thinner, kind of looked a bit uglier, and well now, essentially slicks are back. We have this new technology called KERS, the Kinetic Energy Recovery System, and the cars look a lot, well, they look a bit different, actually a lot different, I'm going to say. Why? I hear some of you asking, well, because some of the go faster, stay on the track more downforce bits have now gone from the actual car. So, what does all this mean? Am I making sense to anybody whatsoever? Well, if I'm not, let me put you in the capable hands of a few friends that could explain a bit better.
I'm Sebastian Vettel. In 2009, the biggest rule changes in history of Formula One will spice up the racing. But we still drive cars. This is how the cars looked in 2008. The front wing is now lower and wider. Gone are barge boards, vanes and shark gears. The exhaust is further to the rear, everything is slimmer. We can adjust the flaps 6 degrees, the nose has been made over, the rear wing is more narrow and higher. All this reduces grip, but lessens the wake behind and increases overtaking. The revs are cut down from 19 to 18,000 and we've only got 8 engines for the whole season. Some of the engines now have to last for 3 instead of 2 race weekends. It'll be exciting to see which teams use KERS. KERS recovers wasted kinetic energy generated under braking. It is converted into electrical energy by a generator and stored in a battery. For a boost of up to 6.5 seconds per lap with an extra 82 horsepower. All at once or in bursts for blocking. But press it too early without enough grip and you'll spin off. Come back after 11 years. Slicks. No grooves, better grip and much more fun. And this year the drivers have more influence. We have to do the right thing at the right time.
Well, there you go. Thanks to Red Bull and Sebastian Vettel. That's a nice video clip you can find on YouTube. Just type in Red Bull F1 2009 or F1 2009 rules on YouTube and you can see that stunning 3D video which you just heard about the new rules. And talking about the new rules, in and out, out for 2009, not a rule though, is Ron Dennis. Yes, once head of one of the most successful Formula One teams ever. And that's McLaren. ITN caught up with Ron Dennis to talk about pretty much the new rules at the McLaren launch. Wow, that seems like way back at the beginning of 2009. But anyway, this is what good old Ron Dennis had to say.
To the granny at home, sitting on her sofa with her cup of tea, explain these rule changes.
Well, they're complex. You can't simplify complex things. The reality is they're the most wide-sweeping set of rule changes that the sport has seen probably in over 15 years. They are technically challenging. They provide, obviously, an opportunity for one team to get a technical advantage, or some people feel maybe even that it's a levelling of the playing field for all of the teams. I tend to disagree with that. I think if people are expecting to see a more even Grand Prix field, I don't think they're going to be. I don't think that's going to be the case. The teams that have got depth, have the research capabilities, are able to apply science and technologies to the challenge, they will come out with an advantage. But I think it will be a good season, an exciting season. And I think all of the changes should deliver what they were meant to deliver. And then people seem to forget that a lot of the things that we've changed are designed to make the cars overtake each other. This is to try and understand the issues of aerodynamic influence on cars that are following. So time will tell if the research that was conducted, a lot of it by McLaren actually has contributed to that objective. But at the end of the day, we're trying to make the sport better at every opportunity.
Did Formula One need to be made more exciting?
I think that if you have a sport which has the sort of following that Formula One has, an audience well up in the sort of 125, 150 million, then clearly it's a sport that's closely watched and followed. So, you know, we want to make the sport better. If people criticise the sport, then there are reasons to go through a process of reinvention, and that's what we're prepared to do. But we are very mindful of the DNA of Formula One, and that's the bit that you've got to make sure that you don't touch, because it has got a strong following, and we don't want to destabilise that fan base. So our approach was to finance probably one of the most extensive bits of market research that's ever been conducted about Formula One, and we will carefully analyse that and try and change Formula One to make it better. But it will take time. It's not going to be a light switch type approach.
Last question for me. No British driver's ever retained the World Drivers' Championship. Is that going to change this year?
There's a first for everything, and I wouldn't discount the opportunity for Lewis to retain his World Championship. He's a strong competitor, and we intend to give him a very good car.
Well, with those new rules well out of the way now, let's look at the teams and driver lineups for Formula One 2009. And, well, we're going to begin with the drivers' champion team, Lewis Hamilton's team, McLaren. Well, the driver lineup stays the same for McLaren as it did last year. Lewis Hamilton, and, well, trying to step out of his shadow somewhat, is Heikki Kovalainen, who's had a somewhat disappointing year last year. Let's hope he can snap back and prove his doubters wrong. Anyway, we've got Lewis Hamilton, who made his debut in 2007. So far, he's started 35 Grand Prix, 9 wins, 13 poles, 3 fastest laps. And, well, he is the reigning Formula One world champion. He finished first to Heikki Kovalainen's 7th position in last year's championship. Somewhat disappointing, he has had one win and, well, pole position. He's also started in 35 Grand Prix. And, well, McLaren, the actual team, they're pretty much one of, second to Ferrari, in fact, of the most successful Formula One team ever. Their team history, if you want to know, founded in 1963. They have started 648 Grand Prix, won 162 of them, had 141 poles and drivers' titles 12, and they've had 8 constructors' titles. So there you go, there's history of the McLaren. But how have they been doing in testing? Not very well. In fact, McLaren could be one of the disappointing cars of the season, at least as we go into the Australian Grand Prix in Melbourne. Why, I hear some of you ask. Well, in testing, they actually admit they have some fundamental aerodynamic problems. At least they've got a fundamental problem with the car. It really has not been going very fast. However, there is a good news, because, unlike Williams, this last week, McLaren were one of two teams, I believe, to stay at Spain in Jerez, the test track, while all the other teams were going to Australia. They stayed an extra week. Yes, they stayed after class and tried their hardest. And, well, they got to within 4/10 of what was at the time the best time of the whole winter, within 4/10. So it looks as though they've sorted some of the problems out with the car. But they've said, and Lewis has also come out and said, they are not expecting to be fighting for victory in Melbourne. So Lewis Hamilton might have to go without a win for the first couple of Grand Prix in his defence of the World Championship. But here is Lewis at the launch of the McLaren car.
regulations for 2009 are completely changed. So, therefore, what that means is that the complete design of the car, everyone starts from scratch. So every team has no idea what other teams are doing, what other teams' cars will look like. You know, some people have taken the front wing off or the horns of our car, and the BMW had that. And so no one has any of these things and can take it and try it and test it. It all starts from scratch. So everyone's just going to do the best job they can. And when we get to the first race, we'll see who's done the best job. And I feel very confident we've done a fantastic job.
Well, from McLaren to one of their biggest rivals of all time. Yes, it's the Scuderia, the Ferrari team. And, well, they are the most successful team in the pit lane with 209 wins. They've started 776 Grand Prix. Their first Grand Prix was at 1950 at the Monaco Grand Prix. Incidentally, 203 poles, as I said, 209 wins. They've won 16 constructors' titles and 15 drivers' titles. How will they fare this year? Well, with the driver lineup of Kimi Raikkonen and Felipe Massa, we've got Kimi Raikkonen, who's got 17 wins, 16 poles under his belt, with Felipe Massa's 11 wins and 15 pole positions under his belt. Felipe Massa was very much the driver for the Ferrari team last year. Kimi Raikkonen, though, the former Formula One world champion, in fact, it's going to be interesting. I think it's going to come down to who has the upper hand early on, because out of all the teams and drivers going for the championship, these two, this team, the Ferrari team, has the two drivers that seem to be very, very equal as compared to the other teams. For example, Renault, as we know, Alonso is definitely number one there. So it's going to be interesting to see who gets the upper hand early on and keeps it. I think that's pretty much what happened to Felipe Massa after the first third of the season. And he pretty much kept that momentum. Now, will Kimi Raikkonen, as some people have said, he seems to lack the motivation. Or, as some people have speculated, was it just that he did not get on with the car? Hopefully these answers, and with these new regulations, are definitely going to be answered. Does Kimi Raikkonen have the motivation to win another world championship? And as for the car, it's been going quick in testing, one of the quickest. It seems the only team to regularly beat the Ferrari on a regular occasion is that new, well, the ex-Honda, but the new team, the new Braun Grand Prix car. But we'll get into that a bit later, but there you go. And as far as Ferrari are concerned, I'm going to leave you in the capable hands of Kimi Raikkonen for Ferrari's F1 2009 preview. What did he think of the car? And, well, what did he think of his own chances?
Kimi, this is your third Ferrari. What are your emotions discovering the new car?
I mean, it looks different because the new regulations, but I think after looking at it for a little while, you get used to it, and for me it looks, because it looks different, but it looks very, very good, and I'm happy to see it tomorrow, the running on the circuit, and see how it goes.
2008 was a bit difficult. What are your expectations for 2009?
Yeah, I mean, the last year was not exactly what I wanted, but this is in the past now, and we try this year again. And of course, it's a big question mark how good the car is and who makes the best car, because the rules has changed a lot. But I think we are very confident that the car should be very good, and we will see it in the next few weeks. How good it is against the others, but for sure we try to win the both championships, and we go and start testing and see how it is and go from there.
How much you're looking forward to go back racing?
I mean, the racing is the most important thing, the most nicest thing for us, so it's nice to get back in the car, especially with a new car. It's always a good fun, trying and seeing how it is. And but I'm waiting for the first race, and will be also very, very nice to get back back in racing when we start in Melbourne.
Well, next up is the BMW team. Yes, pretty much the third team wanting to join the big two, the big boys. It very much nearly did that last year. It won its first Grand Prix. The team founded in 2006, even. And, well, they've had 53 Grand Prix, one win, one pole position. and their two drivers, Robert Kubica, who scored his maiden win last year at the Canadian Grand Prix. So he's got one win, he's had one pole position. He finished fourth last year in the championship. Was pretty much a contender up until the penultimate race of the season. Fantastic. And his teammate Nick Heidfeld, who has just got one pole position to his name. He's had two fastest laps. And, well, these two, it's going to be interesting because will Nick Heidfeld recover from a very medical year, and will Robert Kubica, or Kubica as some people call him, had a fantastic year last year in 2009. Who's going to get the upper hand? I'm kind of predicting that it's going to be more of the same, Robert Kubica. And if Nick Heidfeld wants to be retained for next year and beyond, he's going to really have to push Robert Kubica to the absolute extreme. And I think Nick Heidfeld is capable of bringing out the odd surprise finish. He's a reliable runner. Is he as fast as Kubica? You probably could say, well, not at the moment, at least. And is the BMW team going to be fast? It's been up there. It's been one of the faster ones, not the fastest. It hasn't really been the pace setter consistently throughout the winter, but anyone is a contender in Melbourne. And if last year was anything to go by, anyone, they could be a contender throughout the year, because development went off for BMW in 2008 towards the end of the year, even though Robert Kubica had a genuine chance at winning the Drivers' Championship. BMW said they're not going to do it again. They focused all their efforts for the 2009 car. Will it pay off? Will that gamble pay off? Well, only time will tell. But at the moment, BMW could be one of the surprises of the year, in the sense that they could win one of the two championships. Anything could happen. As I said, they're the team there, along with another team, which we'll mention later on, but they're one of the teams that could cause an upset, with the big guns being the Renaults, the Ferraris, and the McLarens. And I'll leave you with the views from Robert Kubica on F1 2009.
To fight for the best positions as possible. Of course, now we have common goal with the team to fight for the championship. Let's see. Last year we were leading championship, drivers' championship after seven races. We were also leading constructors' championship. So let's try to repeat it and do better in the end of the season, second half. But as I said, it's quite early to say. But of course, the goal is to fight for the championship.
And on to Renault. And if they start the season how they finished it last year, well, they could be world champions, no doubt. Well, founded in 1977, they've had 245 Grand Prix. They've had a long gap in between some of them. They've have come back recently. And, well, 35 wins, 50 pole positions, and two constructors' titles and two drivers' titles, courtesy of Fernando Alonso. Yes, it's Alonso and Nelson Piquet, the driver lineup. One with nothing to prove in Alonso, and the other driver with everything to prove. As we know, Alonso, a win record, 21 wins, 17 pole positions, and, well, Piquet, he hasn't won yet, he hasn't had any poles. And, well, Nelson Piquet Jr., some people were very surprised that Renault kept him on for 2009, as was I. I kind of felt there were better drivers perhaps in the wings, but Renault has shown faith in him. Will he reward that faith even? I expect Fernando Alonso, if they can get the car right, it was once again a nice quick car in testing, perhaps not the quickest all the time, but don't be surprised for a podium or two towards the at the beginning of the season, and who knows what more. Fernando Alonso, many people have said, pound for pound, the best Formula One driver in it today. Do I agree? Well, I reckon Lewis Hamilton, as we know, has given him a good run for his money. And pound for pound, I'd say Lewis Hamilton, he's the world champion for a reason at the moment. And he beat Fernando Alonso in the McLaren team, fair and square, in my opinion. But Fernando Alonso on his day, is a dangerous man, and he had a very good couple of days with his two wins from 2008. He's going to want to fight for the championship this year, which he said. So Renault are definitely one of the favourites. I wouldn't say the favourites. The favourites probably go to Ferrari, but along with BMW, I think Renault could definitely spring a surprise or two come the end of the year. And from Renault to Toyota. If Renault proved something last year, Toyota have it all to prove. They've been mildly, well, pretty much disappointingly unsuccessful since their start in 2002. They've had 122 Grand Prix, two pole positions, one fastest laps, but no wins. And for the team, which is well renowned to have the biggest budget in Formula One, that is a disappointment. Their driver lineup stays the same as last year. Jarno Trulli, Timo Glock. Jarno Trulli boasting just the one win, three pole positions though. With Timo Glock, no wins and no pole positions. Driver lineup-wise, they seem pretty even come the end of the year, talent-wise. Jarno Trulli, as we all know, has that fantastic qualifying pace. His race pace is what's been disappointing, but last year he did prove that he can hang with the big boys on the race pace. So it's going to be an interesting year for Toyota. Car-wise, they have been pretty fast in testing once again. As I will say... testing, how much does it really show? How fast is the car? I mean, can you... Well, you've got to kind of read between the lines in testing. You never know how much fuel a car has. You never know whether they're really running ballast. But give the times for what they are, they have been impressive compared to the other cars. As I said, we're going to find out in Melbourne. We're going to find the truth in Melbourne to how good Toyota really are. But what I will say about this team, perhaps their driver lineup isn't the most exciting compared to some of the teams, but they've never gone to Melbourne, in my opinion, with a stronger package as they have this year. So, like a lot of things, they could spring a surprise come Melbourne. A win? Well, you know, that's a bit out of the blue, I think. Even this year, it's going to have to be perhaps a lucky situation. It could be proven wrong, though. So, a few podiums, definitely. I think if Toyota don't come out with a nice bunch of podiums come the end of the year, it will be considered somewhat of a disappointment for them. And on to the team that surprised everybody last year by scoring their maiden victory. Yes, Scuderia Toro Rosso, the customer team that outperformed the works team. And, well, their driver lineup, they're sticking with the Sebastian name, though. So they've got Sebastian Bourdais, who is back from a mildly unsuccessful 2008 campaign. But he did show glimpses of promise with Sebastian Buemi, the rookie. So no wins and no pole positions for both of them, but one win and one pole position for the team in Sebastian Vettel. He's gone to Red Bull. So what can we expect from Toro Rosso? Well, they've got their Ferrari engines, which we know seem to be more powerful than the Renault, at least last year. But one thing that they don't have, as I said, is Sebastian Vettel. How special was he? I think we're going to find out this year with Toro Rosso. I don't expect a surprising win. And I don't expect perhaps as many point positions as Toro Rosso got last year, unless we have quite a few wet weather races. And we had a few last year, so you never know. But I think to match last year, it's going to be almost a miracle for Scuderia Toro Rosso. However, I do think they can pick off the odd point or two, even in genuine circumstances, like they did last year, but perhaps not on such a consistent basis as they had last year. But anyway, there's the rundown on Scuderia Toro Rosso. I do wish them the best of luck, though, for trying to equal. That would be amazing, wouldn't it, if they did, to try and equal their 2008 campaign. That would be absolutely fantastic. Well, on to Scuderia Toro Rosso, sister team, very much the head team, hopefully this year. They were kind of embarrassed by Toro Rosso last year. They're not going to want that this year. A few questions are in the air. How good is Sebastian Vettel? How good is Mark Webber? And has he recovered from that horrible leg injury that he suffered last year? Well, we've got Red Bull, no wins, no pole positions. They have had 103 constructors points. They were founded 2005, and their first race at David Coulthard at Red Bull's first race, nearly got a podium. He beat both McLarens. He finished at fourth. Fantastic for that. We have Mark Webber, who hasn't had a win or a pole position, unlike his teammate Sebastian Vettel, who won at that rain-soaked Grand Prix in Monza last year, and incidentally had the pole position the day before. Stunning weekend for Sebastian Vettel. But one of the other questions also for Red Bull is, how good is the Adrian Newey car going to be? In testing, they've been solid. They haven't been the pace setters, but as I've said, they have been solid for this year. They definitely need to improve on the reliability, which has been Red Bull's Achilles heel for quite a while now, it seems. Is it because Adrian Newey cars? If you remember when Adrian Newey was at McLaren, his cars weren't fantastic for reliability, were they? They were breaking down, touch wood, but McLaren have had nice reliability for the last few years, hence Adrian Newey not designing them. There you go, that's my conspiracy theory about Adrian Newey. But say what you will, he is a fantastic designer, and this is exactly the spur that he needs with all these new regulations going into it. The Red Bull may well spring a surprise or two, and I would not be surprised if we had a Red Bull their first F1 victory at the hands of either Mark Webber or Sebastian Vettel, and that is going to be very interesting this year. Who will have the upper hand come the end of it? We're going to really, really find out how good Mark Webber or Sebastian Vettel is, because both of them are definitely going to be needing to beat the other. And I leave you with Mark Webber talking about his injury and his hopes for F1 2009.
Not too badly, obviously, a road to recovery from the incident to now, so we're well on target for Melbourne. That's the main thing. Obviously, we're focusing very hard on making sure that I'm in the best shape possible for my first Grand Prix at the start of the year, so testing is very much a stepping stone, especially this week, but the last few tests should be very, very good for me, and I'm looking forward to driving the car. Yeah, no, we've tried several things to stimulate the healing and get the quality, I suppose, of the blood and everything very good to help the healing. And obviously I'm trying to do some normal training, whether it's on the static bike or rowing machine, swimming, to keep my cardiovascular system working. And so, yeah, it's been good. I think the old cars did look obviously beautiful, because the wings and everything looked in proportion to the rest of the car. Obviously the new regulations look a bit different. We'll get used to them very, very quickly. I love the new car. I think it looks very, very nice. And Adrian and his team have done an amazing job. Well, I think all of it makes sense. KERS is a little bit of an unknown, obviously, for everybody, because I think some teams will use it and some teams won't use it. I think it won't be that easy to explain for the commentators and for the people to really understand what's happening, maybe. So that's probably the only concern for the people, is the KERS situation. But slicks, aerodynamics, all those type of things, I think will be good for the sport.
And next up, how the mighty have fallen, some people will say, but it's the Williams team, one of the most successful teams in Formula One. I mean, they boast 113 victories with 125 pole positions. They've won 9 constructors' titles and 7 drivers' titles, all in less time than Ferrari and McLaren. So very exciting stuff for Williams there, but not so much of the recent years. Their last driver's title, for example, was in 1997 with Jacques Villeneuve, and that was their last time they won the constructors' title. Now, we've got a driver lineup of Nico Rosberg and Kazuki Nakajima, same as last year. And Nico Rosberg, well, he's done one fastest lap, but he's got a lot to prove this year. Many people were saying at the beginning of last year, this is your year, Nico. This is where you really got to prove you're good. He did a solid job, but not really outstanding, did he? His teammate Kazuki Nakajima, he didn't fare too badly. He wasn't one of the jolly Japanese joyriders that people did expect. As myself, quite wrongly, in the last year's season preview, I said, no, I expect bad stuff from this guy. Well, I'm eating some pie and it tastes humbly. There you go. I apologise for that. But, well, Kazuki Nakajima has been very, very close to Nico Rosberg last year towards the end of it as well. Once he got used to the team. So it's going to be interesting to see what's going to happen this year with those two. The Williams has once again, as the last few years, proved a solid car in testing, but when it comes to the actual race, they're good at the beginning of the season and their development seems to slack off. Perhaps they don't have as many resources towards the end. Interestingly though, they have a different KERS kinetic energy recovery system to the other teams. They've gone a different way. I'm not going to get into the explanations of it now, but it's going to be interesting. So, what will we be seeing? A Williams comeback for 2009? Possible. I hope so. And I just don't want to be disappointed. Having said that, let's hope that Williams at least produce the odd podium or two for 2009. Well, onward to Force India, who interestingly now have a technical partnership with McLaren using the Mercedes engine. And, well, they've been at the moment quicker than McLaren in testing, with a driver lineup of Adrian Sutil and Giancarlo Fisichella mildly unchanged. They've had 18 Grand Prix so far in their current guys. Remember, this is the old Jordan team from back in the day. Fisichella boasts 3 wins, 3 pole positions. However, Adrian Sutil, not that same success, but he hasn't been in a top team. I must say, Fisichella's driving last year, it was good. It was kind of solid, but I expected him to outshine his teammate. Now, whether that shows that Fisichella wasn't that good last year or Adrian Sutil was pretty good, I don't really know. Perhaps the answer to that question is going to happen in 2009. But the interesting thing about this team is the partnership with Mercedes. Yes, is it going to prove fruitful? Well, as I've said, the car was faster than the McLaren when they were both on the track at the same time, some of the time, which raised quite a few eyebrows. And how are the two drivers going to do? Well, I think Force India, they're going to be lucky to score more than a few points, I think, for 2009. But I think if they can get it right, have a solid year, albeit perhaps at the back of the grid, with a bit of luck scoring, a nice batch of points. But I think it's going to really take a wet race for them to be in the points. And I think a solid year, and hopefully build on this year towards perhaps a better 2010, especially now they're in their technical partnership with McLaren and have that Mercedes-Benz power plant in the back of their car. So a character building 2009, I'm predicting for the Force India team. And, well, on to what could be the surprise of the year, Braun Grand Prix. Shock on the cards. Autosport said it best in their season preview when they said, in the space of 1 week, Braun Grand Prix went from not existing to being a customer Mercedes team potentially capable of beating McLaren in round one in Australia. Their driver lineup, Jenson Button and Rubens Barrichello, they've both proven Grand Prix winners. This team could be the surprise of the year. Gone is the Honda engine, gone is the Honda backing, and then suddenly, pre-season testing, they are the team to beat. They've outshined everybody in the last week where everyone was present in pre-season testing. Absolutely shocking. I've been pretty much lost for words when it comes to Braun Grand Prix. Are they going to win the championship? I don't think so. Are they one of the favourites going into Melbourne? Well, they're one of the favourites to spring a big surprise, at least. Can Jenson Button win another race? Well, this is his best chance since 2006, the Hungarian Grand Prix. This is his best chance to win a race since then. I cannot believe I'll be saying that, but there you go. So I have absolutely no predictions about this team except expect a possible upset come Melbourne. They are in great shape at the moment. And, well, I'll leave you with a Jenson Button to describe his feelings about Braun Grand Prix in the upcoming season.
Thursday is when the announcement was made to the whole of the factory. And I had an inkling, but I didn't know 100% beforehand. So that was the first time we all found out. So obviously everyone was very excited. We've worked very hard over the winter on producing a car for this year, and I think a reasonably good car. So we were looking forward to getting onto the circuit with it, and we shook it down on the Friday, last Friday, and then we came here to Barcelona and started our testing, which has been going really well.
You say a reasonably good car. How realistic is the pace that we've seen yesterday and this morning?
I don't know. You know, the car's good to drive. It's it definitely suits my style, which is great, and I think we've done a good job aero-wise, mechanically, and we've got a good lump in the back of it. So it's you know, the pace is good, but I don't know how we are compared to our competitors. You never know what fuel people are running on. But all I know is that we've started off very well, and you know, the car's reasonably reliable, which is what we've been working on so far this week.
Well, obviously glad to be at the first race, because that wasn't a certainty up until a few weeks ago. We have a good car, and the issue will be building in reliability and building in the team performance, because the boys have only got this test. We'll start race simulations, pit stop practices, things like that tomorrow. They've been practicing back at the factory, but working with the car is crucial. And so it will be a big challenge, but I think the fact we're there is a major achievement, and I guess that'll go on very quickly, and our results will have to be the thing that speaks for us.
You know, we've all had a very hard winter, and finally to arrive here at testing, however quick the car is, you know, it's nice to be back here and showing what we can achieve. And we don't have long until the first race, but I think we'll have a reliable car when we get to Melbourne. You know, if yesterday was anything to go by, we did 82 laps and pretty much trouble free. So we'll see how it goes today, but it's looking good.
Well, thanks to Jenson Button and Ross Brawn there. And as we are winding down the season preview for 2009, get your pens out, get your diaries out, as we're going to run down the F1 calendar for 2009. Well, we start the season in Australia on the 29th of March. 5th of April, we've got Malaysia. 19th, the third round is the Chinese Grand Prix. That's April. 26th of April, we go to Bahrain. Now, the 10th of May, for round 5, the Spanish Grand Prix. Round 6 in Monaco is on the 24th of May. Then we've got the Turkish Grand Prix on the 7th of June. 21st of June is the British Grand Prix. Now, round 9, yep, we're about halfway through the season. German Grand Prix, 12th of July. 26th of July is the Hungarian Grand Prix. And then we have our break, our 3-week break. Well, looks a bit longer than that now. The European Grand Prix on the 23rd of August. And, well, the round 12 is the Belgian Grand Prix. Well, the 30th of August and the 13th of September is the Italian Grand Prix. Singapore, round 14, 25th to the 27th of September. So the race is on the 27th of September. Japanese Grand Prix, 4th of October. Brazilian Grand Prix, round 16. The penultimate round this time, 18th of October. And the last round, let's hope it's going to be an exciting one. Just as exciting as last year, is the new Abu Dhabi Grand Prix on the 1st of November. Well, there you go for your Formula One season preview. I hope you enjoyed it, and I hope you're going to join me, James, and our F1 podcast for the 2009 season, where we're going to give you race previews, we're going to give you race reviews. So join us for the Australian Grand Prix. Yes, round 1, and let's hope it's an exciting one. Who's going to win? I'm not even going to think about making a prediction at the moment. All I can say is I hope you come along with me for the ride, F1 2009, and let's enjoy this roller coaster ride of new rules, new regulations, probably new winners. Will we have a new F1 champion? Who knows? Join me for the ride from now until November. This is going to be the season of F1.
This podcast is part of the TPS Radio Sports Podcast Network at www.tpsradio.net.